chosen. I could see no hope from where I stood, and even in the middle of the darkness, I knew that He would work it for my good. Yet the road where pain was my companion took me to an unexpected place, and ending in the middle of the darkness, that was where my heart would learn to say,
I choose Christ when everything around me says give up. I choose faith, I choose to trust, to believe He is good. He'll come through like He said He would every time. Oh, I choose Christ.
I don't know the story He's unfolding,
serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Let's sing this good old song. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say.
standing for our pastor this morning.
It's good to see everybody here today. Appreciate those that come to Sunday school. Had a good number today in Sunday school. Want to encourage you to come. We got class for everybody. If you just want to come in here and sit down, Brother Matt Moss teaches out here, and I know you'd enjoy that. But we want to get to see you involved in Sunday school. If you're visiting, we're glad to have you. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless us today. Lord, you said if anyone knock, you'd come in and sup with him and he with you. Lord, we can fellowship with you if we choose to, and I pray that you'd bless this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, Lord, the grace.
on, young adults. Let's sing Goodness of God this morning.
Thank you. Bless you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
This is a great one.
Bless them.
Sing of the goodness of God.
without the goodness of God. Amen. How many of you have ever experienced the goodness of God? If you're alive today and well, you've experienced the goodness of God. Amen. Let's stand and sing this good old song. Oh, how I love Jesus. Number 391, if you need it in your hymnal. 391. As the choir comes down to walk around, shake hands, tell everybody you're glad to see them in the Lord's house on this month, Sunday morning. Verse with me, but drops of grief.
But drops of grief can bury the dead above my own. Lord, I give myself this all that I can do.
Sing that chorus. sing it like you mean it. Amen.
David, you ask the blessing, please, sir.
Father, we thank you, God, for loving us. Because I know, Lord, you first loved us before we loved you. But we thank you, God, for your mercy, your patience, your long-suffering. Lord, I pray, God, this morning, Lord, I pray for that lost soul may be here. Yes. God, may the Holy Ghost get a hold of their soul, Lord, and open their eyes up, Lord, and see them walk this aisle and get saved. Bless the offering for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Y'all pray for us. Devil's been fighting us all morning. Been fighting us all morning. Finally, he obviously don't want a lot of things to happen this morning. Amen. Hard to sing this song sometimes when you're going through things and everything. And hard to say it as well with my soul. But aren't you glad you know the Lord this morning? I'm glad I know the Lord this morning. And I just pray we put everything that's happened. You know, Chad's Jeep is messed up when he's on the way, and we were trying to get together and practice this morning, and the devil's just fighting us. But I just pray right now we just put all that behind us and just worship the Lord. Amen. Pray a song be a blessing to you. Amen.
Even so. The sun, where to stand in the morning, and who told the ocean you can only come this far, and who showed the moon where to hide till evening, whose words alone can catch a falling star. Well, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. All of creation testifies this life. I know my Redeemer lives. The very same God who spins things in orbit runs to the weary, the worn, and the weak. And the same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken, they conquer death to bring me victory. Now this life within me cries, I know my Redeemer. He lives to take away my shame, and he lives forever, I'll proclaim that the was the precious life he gave, but now he's alive and there's an empty grave. Now within me cries, I know
Thank you. Before the message this morning, we're going to ask all that went to the RISE conference. It was a youth conference last week in Pigeon Forge to come up. We're going to ask anybody that wants to say a word, if they would. Had 16 went. Was it Brother Jeff, 16 or 17? 17. Got three or four not here this morning, but we went, and Brother, our youth director, Brother Jeff, was not able to go because of the schedule change. So, but I appreciate his heart for our young people. He loves them. So Daddy Jeff and Miss Jackie took over, and Phyllis and I volunteered to go. So I told the kids last week I wouldn't pastor last week. I was a servant. He's in charge. I was a driver, and that's all I was. So we enjoyed being with the kids. You know, an hour out of Chattanooga, the air conditioning went out, so we didn't have air conditioning in the van all week, and they didn't complain about it, and I appreciate that. There's a good bunch of young folks. I know the sheriff of Sevier County said that's the best bunch of kids he's ever arrested. He said they was welcome in his jail anytime. They were good young folks. You know, there was over 7,000 in that conference, and it's good to see that many young people worshiping. I mean, they went to it. And so it was 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the evening approximately of church, and they wanted to go back and stay. We got back here. They wanted to go back. And he said, let's turn around. Jeff said, why? He said, let's go back. I thought, you ain't got enough sleep. You need to, you know, they wanted to stay a month. But that's good that they're that enthused about serving the Lord. Of course, they get 50 years more like I got 50 years on these kids. So I say come home and go to sleep. But they were excited about it. But we enjoyed being with the young people, Phyllis and I. It's our opportunity to be with them. I think there's like 480-something saved. Is that right? And so, and Miss, of course, out of 7,000, that's probably 8% or so. But appreciate Miss Phyllis and Miss Jackie cooking all the food. She cooked a lot of it before we left, and they took care of feeding the young folks, and they pitched in. And so we just had a really good week, and we're going to let each one of them give an opportunity if they want to. If they don't, it's fine. To say something about the conference, and we'll let the old people, the old elders go first and to kick it, get the ball rolling, and then we'll let the young folks say. Brother Jeff, you want to come, and then Phyllis, Miss Jackie, and then Phyllis.
I'd just like to thank Jeffrey for getting us all together. I know he was discouraged when he came to me, and he was like, we're not going to Arise this year. I said, why? He's like, man, I've got this going. I said, you know what? If you want it to happen, we'll make it happen. Then I'd like to thank Billy and Miss Phyllis. They didn't have to go, you know. They chose to go, and they were in it. I mean, it was a blessing to have them with us. And then we get to this cabin, and it looked like it was an off-road trail going up to the cabin. And we were kind of discouraged at that point, I think. I can speak for everybody. And I was looking at them steps going, this is not good. But we had, you see all the females that are with us. We had two young men the first day. Chad hadn't got there yet. Matt and Lucas. And boy, them boys were up and down the steps carrying girls' bags, carrying coolers, carrying the food in and out. And I just want to thank them for their hard work. But each one of these young people were just a blessing to be around. We had no arguments, no scuffles, no nothing. They don't like to sleep. But other than that, we didn't have any problem with this group. It was just a blessing to be there. And I think one of the things that I took away from this was how many of our teens are carrying something with them. And you know what? They're too young to have all these burdens. Pray for our young people.
Well, I was a newbie. The devil kind of fought this trip for me. A lot of you know my dad passed away. The trip was planned. I really struggled within my heart. Tuesday I left with a good heart. Mom said, it's okay. I love you, Mama. So I left, ventured out 10:30 that night. I called Jeff. I said, my GPS has me smack dab in the middle of downtown, and it's not Pigeon Forge. I said, did y'all come this way? By 11 o'clock, I finally found the gate to the entrance of the place. By 11:15, I was thinking, my son, I love you, has sent me and his dad into the wilderness with bears, no cell phone service, and teenagers. by the grace of God, and after being told to make a U-turn 150 times, I finally found the cabin. God is so good. It was just worship the entire time. Just the joy these teenagers brought at a huge time. I needed you to. But I have to say the one thing I took away, Donnie, was I got the privilege of seeing your baby born in this church. And I got the privilege of seeing her born again at Rise. I love you so much. Sophie is one of the ones that got saved. Amen.
This was the first time that I had been able to go to Arise, and let me tell you, it is like nothing you have ever experienced in your life. 7,500, just the young people were in there. They didn't count us, the adults, the counselors, the pastors that went in, that was in there. And it was truly amazing to see just about every one of them raise their hands and praise the Lord and just stand there and worship Him during the song service. And when it was invitation time or whenever, I mean, there was times during the messages, there was kids going down to the altar and praying. And it wasn't like one person went down. It was like whenever one went down, their whole group went down. I mean, it would be two rows would empty to go down and pray with those, to pray with one person. And that was truly a blessing. Just pray for these kids. We do not know what all they face at school. It's so different than when we were in school. And just pray for them every day, because they have bullying, they have harassments, they have teachers that may not care, and they just have a lot on them. And even some in their homes don't have good home lives, and then they have to leave and go face all that. Just pray for the youth of today, and pray for each one of these that they will be able to do what the Lord wants them to do.
Amen. Well, I got called on. My turn. I have no clue what I'm going to say, except it was good. It's always a good week. I don't even know how many years I've been now, since Brother Dave has been the youth director, but it says the best week ever. That's like one of the phrases of the week, and it keeps getting better, keeps getting better. And then there was, I think this was the biggest year, 471 souls saved, and that's the biggest that I think Arise has ever had, and it was 283 in one night. And it's a great week to get closer to the Lord. I talked with Jeff before I went up there. I had to go up there late. And I stopped by his house to pick up some pickleball paddles, which we didn't use. I'm sorry. But we stopped. And the devil wants to fight you. And the thing about it is once you get to Arise, it's like a reflection of how you lived from the previous year. To me, it is. And I know there were some instances. I started a new job. I didn't really know if I could go. I was going to try to make plans to go, and I ended up getting to. But that's what it was. When I got there, it was a reflection. And God can show you things when you reflect on yourself and you quit looking at everybody else's sin. He shows you what you got to fix in your life. And that's what Arise is for me. I loved it. Thank y'all for praying for us.
Well, I guess it's my turn. I was just going to say, every year I've gone since we first went when David was with us, Brother David, and I say every year, like, it can't get better, but I get proven wrong every single year. And I just want to say thank you to Brother Billy and Miss Phyllis, because we all were kind of worried we weren't going to be able to go this year. And I think my biggest takeaway was Thursday night. We all were singing up in the choir. It was one of the days we all decided to go up there. And the Spirit just touched my heart. And I looked to Emma and I was like, we need to go get Miss Phyllis, like right now. So I went and I got Miss Phyllis, and she went down to the altar and prayed with me, because the whole week I was just feeling like kind of numb. Like I saw everyone else praying and like praising the Lord, and I wasn't really feeling it. And I went down and I got Miss Phyllis and we prayed. And the rest of the night it was like overwhelming joy. So thank you.
The biggest takeaways that I really took away this year was that no matter what you've been through, you always have value with God. Amen. And nothing in this world is going to compare to the value of your spiritual life and your eternal life with God. So that's it.
I do just want to say that and thank our pastor and Miss Phyllis, as I said, when I had a burden on my heart, because I know what happens up there, and I know what it does in the lives and hearts of these young people and in mine, and I didn't want to miss it, but I gotta feed my family. So, but without hesitation, I said, Brother Billy and Miss Phyllis said, here am I, send me, and they were willing to go, and that just shows the heart of our pastor. And I know this man right here loves these young people. Said most people would, you know, if they had a broken ankle or just had surgery, they'd find an excuse not to go. He was trying to find every excuse to be able to go. I'd have had to handcuff him and lock him in a closet to not get him to go. So they love these young people, and I appreciate that. It says a lot about the heart of our church and the heart of our pastor and his wife. So love them and thank them. And I love these young people. They're a blessing.
Do love the young folks, and we appreciate the opportunity to be with them and enjoyed it. Brother Jeff being broke ankle helped because we've got to park in the handicap spot down near the door, so it helps to have some old broke down old folks with you like that. But it was good to see again the kids worshiping the way they did. Let's stand together. John chapter number one, John chapter 1 verse 35. One thing that they encourage the young people to do, because I mean, all those kids, I mean, 7,000 worshiping and praying and all they were doing, but they encouraged them to take it back home and go to their schools and start winning their friends and their family. So I want to talk about time to get personal. It's time for us to start winning. The challenge to us is also to start trying to win our folks. John 1:35 again, the next day, after John stood, he had just baptized Jesus and introduced him. And then he says, again, the next day, John stood and two of the disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak. They followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, what seek you? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first finding his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonas. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation of stone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray that you'd bless the day. We are thankful for our young folks and for their willingness to serve you, and they serve in this church, and we're grateful for that. Just pray you bless us all today in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Again, we'll talk about the scripture. Well, it's time to get personal. They were challenged to go back, and we need to get involved in winning our family and our friends and our coworkers. All of us know lost people, and we need to get involved in personal soul winning again. We used to do a lot of that. And, you know, there's a lot of ways they hear it through media. They got Facebook and all this other stuff these days. But it, years and years ago, I read a survey. They'd rather hear it from somebody personal, friend of theirs, somebody close to them, than through that means. Things have changed a lot since then, but I doubt if it's different. But so we ought to. Jesus believed in personal soul winning. In John chapter 3, he dealt one-on-one with Nicodemus. In chapter 4, he dealt with the woman at the well. Chapter 7, he dealt with a blind man. He dealt with, in Luke 19, he dealt with Zacchaeus. I mean, he got one-on-one. Now, he preached to the crowds, preached to the multitudes, but he got to people individual. And so did Paul. Paul, of course, in John 7, Acts 17, when he was in Athens, Greece, he would go to the synagogue, it says in chapter 17:17. He would go to the devout people. But then it said he went out into the marketplace, and whoever met with him, he taught with them. The marketplace, where people, the thoroughfare, where people go back and forth. Wherever he could get somebody to carry on a conversation with, he did. Later on, he talked to Felix in Acts 24 and Acts 26. He witnessed personally to King Agrippa. I mean, and Paul, of course, preached to the masses, but he believed in getting one-on-one with folks when he could. And so I encourage you today to try to, it's a blessing to win folks to the Lord. And I want us to be challenged this morning to reach the people closest to us. In this scripture we read today, we see where a family member reached another family member. Now, Andrew had accepted John's message and become a disciple. In verse 35, he said, again, the next day John stood and two of his disciples, one of them was Andrew, and he had accepted Christ from what John had preached. But early in John chapter 1, verse number 26, it said, John answered them saying, I baptize with water, but there's standing one among you whom you know not. He it is who's coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming, saith him, Behold the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which was preferred before me, for he was before me. Of course, we know John was older, but Jesus was preexistent. But anyway, he introduced Jesus as the sin bearer. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Well, Andrew accepted that. And then verse 36, John introduced him again, looking upon Jesus as he walked, saith, Behold the Lamb of God. So Andrew accepted Christ as a sin bearer, as the one to take away the sin of the world. And then he followed him in verse 37. John had these two disciples, appointed them to Jesus in verse 37. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed him. That was John's job, was to get folks to follow Jesus. So Andrew did, verse 38 and 39, he went with Jesus. It said in verse 38, then Jesus turned and saw them following and said, What seek you? They said unto him, which is to say, Rabbi, which is to being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he said unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So Andrew accepted Christ. He went to spend time with him, to learn from him. And then he did something that was natural. What is it more natural than to care about somebody that's related to you? So verse number 40, one of them which heard John speak followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, and he first findeth his own brother Simon. The first thing that Andrew wanted to do was introduce the Messiah to his brother. So he brought him to him, and he told him, verse 41, he said, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ, verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. He brought him, his own brother, brought him to Jesus. And it changed Peter's life. Now, Peter's name, Simon, means hearing. But verse 42, he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus beheld him and said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas. This changed Peter's life. His name means Simon, which means hearing. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. And he heard about Jesus from his brother. And Jesus, it said to him, said, Thou art Simon, you will be called Cephas. That means a stone. Man, what a privilege it would be to win someone who was going to become a pillar in the church and the leader of the apostles and preach on Pentecost. 3,000 souls were saved. Now, I know Andrew had his part, but Peter was the leader, won to Christ by his brother. Should we not go personally to our own family? Now, I know it's sometimes it's hard. It's difficult with family. My brothers, all of us, made a profession when we was young. When we was older, I worked with one of them, and I couldn't say nothing to him hardly. Of course, he knew everything. He grew up in church like I did. I was a pastor at that time, and he would cuss when people in my presence. If one of the members come up, he'd cuss more. I mean, he was hard to deal with. I finally told him one day, you know, God's going to kill you. He said, I know. But I was concerned about him, and I'm just saying it's difficult. Now, God did save him later, but I'm just saying I know it's difficult to talk to family sometimes, and sometimes it may be awkward, but we just need to do it because it is very natural for us to want our relatives. You know, what happens if you try and they get mad? They get mad. You know, what if they don't? Well, they won't come to Christmas. That's one less Christmas thing you got to buy. There's benefits if they get mad, but you got to make an effort. Now, I know, and, you know, several of you have faced this. A lot of times, whether it be a mother or father or whatever, sometimes we're not sure about their salvation. They get down to their deathbed, and we talk to them, and that's okay. That can happen. I wouldn't bet on it, but it can happen. But why not start early and start talking to our family and let the Holy Spirit start working on their life? I mean, the most natural thing in the world, the people you love the most probably is your family, and you love to be with them. Well, you'd want to be with them in heaven. So I think we need to take Andrew's example and try to win our family. And then we ought to try to win our friends. We ought to try to win our friends. I refer to this often, Mark chapter 5, the man lame legion. It's just one of my favorite stories. But when you, in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, and they came over the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes, and when he came out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. A man, no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always day and night he was in the mountains and the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. Jesus, when he went over the sea, he encountered this man called Legion because there were so many devils. Can you imagine the life of? We talked in our Sunday school this morning about a woman whose daughter was possessed by the devil. Can you imagine what a miserable life that is? He was unsociable. He lived among the tombs, among the dead. He was uncontrollable. They would chain him. He'd break the chains. He was unconsolable. He was every day cutting and crying and cutting his flesh. You know, somebody's mutilating the flesh, it's a sign Satan's involved. But anyway, this is the kind of life this man lived. But he met Christ. You know, when he come up, Christ showed up, those devils knew exactly who he was. And they knew what he would do or could do. And they said, don't put us in the deep. Don't confine us. Let us go into these swine. Well, the Bible said in verse 13, and forthwith Jesus gave them leave. The unclean spirits went out and entered the swine, and they heard, and the herd ran violently down a steep place in the sea, and there were about 2,000. They were choked in the sea. Even the hogs can't stand the devil. But anyway, they knew he was going to kick him out of Legion, but they wanted to embody something else. So they went into the swine. The swine went crazy, went down and drowned themselves. But the point is, he was out of this man. He was out of this man. The devils left him. Well, verse 15, we see that he was at peace. It says, and they came to Jesus and to see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting. Three things you notice about this man. He was sitting. The man had been crying in the tombs night and day, no rest. Could no rest. Now he had rest in his soul. And now he could just sit at Jesus' feet and have rest for his physically rest too. And he was clothed. He had run around naked. That's what people who are heathens do. That's what people who are unsaved. You know, the one thing, nobody, I guarantee nobody told him put clothes on. That's just, you know, he got saved. The Spirit, he was clothed, put his clothes on. And he was in his right mind. Man, finally, for a, I don't know how long he was in this case, but he finally had a peace, a mind that was at peace because Jesus had saved him. So he met Christ. And so what happened in verse 18, he loved Jesus. Another natural thing, it says, and when he was coming to the ship, that he had been possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might be with him. You know, he didn't have any, you know, nobody wanted to be around him, but Jesus cured him. And now his desire of his heart was just to be with Jesus. That's a natural instinct for a believer, to want to be around him and want to be around God's people. The Bible says we know we've passed the death and the life if we love the brethren. I don't understand why people don't want to go to church. I mean, that's where the brethren are, and that's where we ought to love. But anyway, he said, I just want to be with you. I just want to stay with you. Well, Jesus gave him something to do. Verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and had compassion on thee. Go to your friends. Now, at some point, I don't know who all he hung around, but I'd say there wasn't saints. You know, that's what we say. He's no saint. But this man had gotten so far into sin, the devil actually had possessed him, and he'd even have to part even from his friends living alone. And now he wants to be with Jesus. He said, no, you got something you need to do. You need to go to your friends. And you need to tell them what God's done for you and how he's had compassion on him. Can you imagine when Legion showed up knocking on the door? I'd imagine I'd run and hid from a guy like that. But he's out there in his sane mind, and then he starts telling them about a man named Jesus that saved his soul and saved his life and gave him peace and helped him and had compassion and loved him. And I'd say a lot of people got saved, wouldn't you? So he sent him to his friends. And it said in verse 20, he went and departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. Decapolis means 10 cities. That's a region on the east side of Jordan from Israel. And he just went everywhere, telling folks what Jesus had done for him. I tell you something, you know, somebody shows up that's lived like he did. Even the fact they had clothes on, talking in the right mind said something. Something happened to this man. They could tell a change in his life. Don't you like seeing a change in people's lives? I told you about that brother that persecuted me because I was a Christian and would cuss and all that. We worked together. We worked with my dad building houses and construction. And Sunday night after one service, I went to my mother and daddy's house. And he had went to church that night with his wife. And mother said, your sister-in-law got saved tonight. I said, that's good. She said, and Jerry rededicated his life. I said, I don't believe that. I know him. I don't believe it. And next morning when I showed up for work, he come in and spoke to me like a human being. He didn't tell me what happened. He just spoke in a kind way and he walked off. I thought something happened. You know, something happened, and it did. It did, man. It changed his life. He had gotten arrested for dope and everything else. And now he wanted to throw the TV out. He wanted to throw the Christmas tree out. I mean, he went from that end to that end. There's no middle ground with that guy. But I could tell immediately something had happened in his life. And I was thankful for that. So he told him, I got something I want you to do. I want you to go tell your friends, those people you used to drink with, those people you used to take dope with, those people you used to do all sorts of things with, go tell them what he did for you. Have we not got any friends that we can share Christ with? We need to figure it out. We need to tell them about Jesus. And if we want to be a true friend, we can go tell them how Jesus saved our life. You know, Romans, Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed. Just be honest about it. Sometimes we're embarrassed. Sometimes we're backward, right, about witnessing. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He knew what it did for him, and he wanted everybody to hear it. You know who wants you to be ashamed and backward? The devil does. The devil does. But what did Acts 1:8 say? After the Holy Ghost has come up on you, you'll receive power and you'll be witnesses unto me in the Jerusalem, Judea, Jerusalem, and the uttermost part of the earth. If we're not witnessing, we lack something. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. If you're afraid to witness, you need to start praying, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. And that'll give you the boldness that you need, because naturally we're cowards in a lot of ways. So we're afraid to approach our friends. I may have the wrong things to say. Don't worry about that. Now, you ought to prepare yourself. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, we ought to be prepared. Our feet ought to be shod with the gospel, the preparation of the gospel of peace. We ought to be prepared and know the gospel. And we got tracks for that. And you can just hand them a track. And so be prepared. But if you still don't feel adequate, you can tell them what happened to you. Tell them what happened to you. But if nothing else, just hand them a tract. Let them read the thing. But don't be afraid. But anyway, we ought to try to reach our friends. We ought to try to reach our family. And we ought to try to reach our coworkers. Or try to reach our coworkers. In Mark chapter 2, when Levi was called to follow Jesus in verse 13. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted. And I'm not in the right scripture, I don't think. Let me check again. Mark 2, verse 13. Yeah, I am. You know, it's good to be, when you think you're wrong, to be right. Phyllis thinks that's the way she's, anyway. I just didn't read far enough. And he went forth again by the seaside, and the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom. Now, this is Matthew, who wrote the Gospel of Matthew. Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. And it came to pass as they sat at meat, Jesus sat at meat in his house, that many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many that followed him. And there were many that followed him. Levi, sitting at the seat of custom, that he was a tax collector. He was a publican, which means he was a crook. They were allowed by Rome to take, Rome got their part. They didn't care how much more they got after that. And so he worked for the IRS. And he's sitting at the receipt of custom. Jesus come by and said, follow me. And he did. He left it, left his job, left his crookedness, and he got up and followed Jesus. And Luke, I think, tells us that he made a great supper in his house and invited all, you know, only people he knew was a bunch of crooks. The Jews would shun him. But he said, and when Jesus went to his house, there's a bunch of publicans and sinners there. That was a gold mine for Jesus. Publicans were tax collectors, of course, sinners. They all were sinners and a bunch of crooks. But he prepared a feast and invited all his co-workers to hear what Jesus had to say, and they got saved. The Bible said they followed him. Of course, the Pharisees said, look at him. Look at him. Now, I don't think we ought to go in a bar and sit down and drink a beer with somebody. You're not going to win them that way. But we can't shun them. We got to reach them. But point is, these were his co-workers, and he reached his co-workers for Christ. You rub shoulders with people every day on your job that you're pretty sure are not saved. And these young folks, the challenge up there was those kids in school that you go to school with. You teachers know the majority of them's probably not saved. They need a witness. But we go to work and we see people. You know, I work construction, and there's some rough trades, but most of them's pretty rough. Most of them drank. My dad was a concrete finisher, and we were pouring concrete at a preacher's house one day. We knew he was a preacher, but he didn't know we were preachers. We was there about 30 minutes, and the concrete driver called my dad preacher. That guy we was pouring for said, I was wondering why there's concrete finishers here already 30 minutes and nobody's cussed yet. You know, that's just the way it is. But there's a great need wherever we are. And construction, of course, I worked around them, and there's a great need. The people we work around, the people we hang with, we need to be a witness to them. We need to talk to them. Live right in front of them. Don't participate in their dirty talk and hear you say cuss words and expect you to win them to Christ. Phyllis worked in a hosiery mill in Fort Payne. Now, back in those days, everybody worked in a hosiery mill in Fort Payne. Sock capital of the world, and you know, she'd get persecuted a little bit. You know, they'd kind of snide things about her because she was a Christian. But you know, one day somebody said something about needing prayer. They said, pray, talk to her. When the chips was down, that's who they wanted to talk to. So, you know, be a Christian in front of them, but I believe we got to let them see Christ, but sooner or later we need to tell them. So anyway, the point is this, that we need to get personal with people. With our friends and our family and our co-workers. Psalm 142, the psalmist wrote this in verse number 4. He said, I looked on my right hand and beheld there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me and no man cared for my soul. Isn't that a sad shape to get in? You think nobody, there's a lot of people desperate today. The lives that they're living and the problems in our country, that people nobody thinks nobody cares for them. It's up to us to show them. He told Legion, said, tell them what kind of compassion God had on you, the Lord had on you. We ought to be showing compassion to people that are lost. I mean, look, they're going to go to hell if somebody don't share the gospel with them. So I want to challenge you today to think about it. and I put it this way sometimes, be soul conscious, S-O-U-L conscious, soul conscious. When you look at somebody, no matter where you meet them, whether it be in a grocery store, where you meet them, think, is that person going to go to hell if I don't give them a track or I don't speak to them? That's the way we ought to think. Think about their soul, whoever we're working around, whoever we're around. Let's stand together as Brother Bill comes with a hymn of invitation. You know, if everyone in here that's a believer gave tracts out or spoke to somebody this week, you know, we could and tried to practice this, and I need to do a better job myself. Well, you know, he said, though that go forth bearing precious seed will doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing their seeds with them. They could be folks coming in here next week by 10 or 12, 15 people maybe that we need to work on it. Need to work on it. And I want to challenge you to. Heavenly Father, pray you bless this time of invitation. If there's one here lost, they need to respond to the gospel. But Lord, we that are Christians just need to be encouraged to do our job that you've left us to do. You told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I pray you'd help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you know somebody that's lost, you can come pray for them. You can do that this morning.
Search me.